you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Mark Grody at Hallis Hall with the Parkinson Spiegel Show. He's got training camp live tonight, 6 to 6:30, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We've got a lot to get to. How's the Hard Knocks presence, Grody?
Hard Knocks presence has been real for the last 3 days. I have counted about a dozen different cameras out on the field and all of the HBO camera people hustling around. They get the big boom mics and they try to eavesdrop on any time there's a cluster of players standing together on the field or even on the sidelines, or there may be some conversation going around. They're poking around in that. So make no mistake, they have been very present out here at Hallis Hall so far.
So you do a great job, Mark Grody. I know you're coming up with Training Camp Live at 6 o'clock, and you were great earlier on with Bernstein and Holmes, and we're just glad you're not mobile for this appearance. You're in one place, and that's exciting, and we can get right to the stuff. The defense is making the offense better, isn't it? And the defense talking about the offense has been great to hear all day. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think today was a half and half day today. I thought the defense outplayed the offense in the first part of the practice today. Montez Sweat had a couple of what looked like either would be serious pressure or maybe even sacks later on in the practice 2-minute drill. That's where Caleb Williams really came to life. Had first down strikes to Rome Odunze and Keenan Allen, and a beautiful 4th and 3. I believe it was about a 7 or 8 yard pickup to DJ Moore before the time ran out and they had to kick a field goal. But that looked really sharp, and I thought that was really heartening to see out there with him. But yeah, Spiegs, I mean, the defensive players, and every time we get a chance to ask them about what they're thinking about Caleb Williams on the field or even as a person, we're going to do it. And DeMarcus Walker, always very candid in his comments, was asked about Caleb Williams and wasn't really happy with what he had heard about him before coming to Chicago.
I don't like how the media made him, and not you guys, I'm talking about the LA guys, they're just the mainstream LA media and all this. I don't like how they made him this type of prima donna type of thing and all that stuff, when you got to know this kid and you sit down and talk with him in the cafeteria and all that stuff. It's just like, no, you just sit down and get to know him, you know? So, you know, good kid, man. You know, I can't wait to see what he does. Special arm talent. And this offense, you know, got so many good weapons around him. You know, it's, you know, the sky's the limit for that kid.
How tapped in were you into, you know, before he gets here, being your teammate, just like reading all that stuff about him?
Right. Well, I didn't really tie into it because, you know, y'all don't understand. Like, I took a month off for the first time. I usually only take 2 weeks off. And my first question I got is, what are we going to do at quarterback? You know what I'm saying? Like, it was so serious. Like, February 1st when I started, and it's just like, so then, I mean, you had the comparisons and everything, and, you know, when I got, like, with anybody, like, and I'll wait to get to know you myself. You know what I'm saying? When we sit down and talk, and I use my discernment to see, you know, if your spirit real or not. So, I didn't really focus, you know, into it. You know, I had to get to know himself. You know, see, Caleb's confident. You know, and I feel like people can use that as cockiness, and that's where I feel like people wrong at. You know, you want anyone to be confident in what they do. You know, in y'all job, y'all got to be confident. You know, you want a confident boyfriend, you want a confident girlfriend, you want a confident husband, you want a confident wife. So, you know, like, you know, I feel like some people can, like, misconcept that.
Man, I love him. I will use my discernment to see if your spirit is real or not. That's good stuff from him, man.
Yeah, and confidence, cockiness. It often does get confused for arrogance. And they are often, you want to straddle that line. Aaron Rodgers is arrogant. It's also helped him be great.
Yeah, I remember it all the way back to Dan Marino. God, he's arrogant. No, he's just cocky because he's confident, because he's really good.
Because he's really, really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, and as long as it doesn't rub teammates the wrong way, then it's all good. And that's what we've heard from. I mean, I remember Cole Kmet earlier this year kind of saying something similar, you know, to I had no idea what this guy was all about. And then he was just almost surprised to see what a great down-to-earth, cool dude he is. So the testimonials continue to come in on the personality and the play of Caleb Williams. But I have one more from DeMarcus Walker. And let's put it this way. It is on his special style of, shall we call it, vocal leadership. Here's more from DeMarcus Walker.
We always hear you jump back and forth with the offense. Did you kind of get the reaction today that you've been looking for over the past couple of years?
Damn
right. Started jawing back a little bit?
Yes, I did. You know what I'm saying? Yes, I did. You know, because they had a little brother, you know what I'm saying? And then you picking on me, you want them to swing back, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I do that. And that's the thing about my leadership. You know, I try to get to know the offense and special teams as well. You know what I'm saying? I'm a team leader, not just a leader. You know what I'm saying? To, you know, being able to, you know, get to those moments, you know, being their brother, you know what I'm saying? And also being there, you know, being a bully, knowing how to, like, you know, get to know them. And when you're doing all that stuff, when things hit the fan, you know what type of person you're going to get out of them. You know what I'm saying? So, bullying works.
On the football field, right?
Ooh, bullying. That's a bad word in our society.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah,
but I mean, that's a Chris Rock bit. Kids need bullies. It leads to great innovation. I understand what he's saying. I don't agree with the, you know, some of it. I don't want my kid to be bullied. I don't want my kid to be a bully. But there is some merit to what he's saying there.
Yeah, and it's in football, I suppose.
Yeah, right. There's merit to what he's saying.
Yeah. Richie Incognito online too.
Well, sure, right. You can't publicly endorse it or you're a bad guy, but I understand the sentiment of what
CPS
he's saying.
CPS on line three.
Yeah, I get it. I get what he's saying.
We all understood the context. We all understood
the context.
And yes.
Yes,
and
we absolutely
and the
did.
Laugh and the laughter helped.
Yes. How's your dear friend Tevin? I saw that he and his agent called and asked for a contract extension conversation. They said, "Let's talk after the bye."
Yeah. He's got to wait till after that Carolina game in October before they could potentially go back to the table. Yeah, that was some of the news that Tevin Jenkins gave us. But one of the themes that I've been talking to you guys about, and this goes back to last year with a healthier regimen, having the chefs in his house, you know, getting his food prepared so he can avoid any kind of extra inflammation, as he put it. And we've been talking about that for a while. But he talked about it more today and going all out to stay healthy. Here's Tevin.
What was the genesis for that video?
Genesis, man.
What was the beginning? What made you decide I wanted to do?
I'll say just basically the future of what I want. You know, I made it vocal many times that I want to be here on the Chicago Bears and whatever I need to do of how much I need to pay forward to get it back and back in. And that's the determination I have to keep doing that and understanding that I need to spend more short term to get more long term for myself and my family.
What's the budget for that? Like, how much do you have to spend? And is it double what you used to, or can you put that into context for us?
So if I have them twice a week, it'll probably be in that shift. Almost double. Yeah, I'll say almost double. Don't tell them that because you might drive the price up on me. But I try to stay well within my means of that, and understanding that I do have newborn formula. It's not cheap. I figured it out very quick. Diapers aren't cheap as well, and wipes. Wipes go out like that. But yeah, there's a lot of things that are in my budget now that was not in mine before that I'm trying to make it more reasonable because, like I said, more now, I can have a lot more later.
Yeah, he's right about wipes.
Oh, so expensive.
And not only that, they go so fast. There's way fewer in each package than you think, and everything is disgusting.
Shrinkflation. Yeah. The whole thing. It's diapers, wipes, swim diapers. These kids, I mean, this the pouches to get them to eat vegetables. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's these now. There's, like, pouches that are basically, it's like smoothies that are just in pouches, and so they can drink their vegetables all over the place.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, super expensive. I'm telling you.
My
grocery store bill is astronomical.
Hey, Grody, does Dave the Cat have a pouch of any kind to eat his vegetables?
No, Grody winning by having a cat instead of a child. So
yeah.
Every time we talk about Dave, it becomes more and more apparent. Again, last time I think it was I told you get cat sleeps 17 hours a day. I am winning.
Yeah, congratulations on all your success.
Yes, it's true. And Dave, Dave probably has a better chance of being a pro athlete than any of our kids.
Definitely mine.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, but he's gaining weight like an offensive lineman right now.
That's fine.
That's all good.
Cats can be linemen too.
Yes.
All right, I've derailed everything.
Let's go back to the defense, Grody.
Nice segue.
Kyler Gordon was speaking for the Bears today, and we all know, I mean, we've all been talking about how good the secondary could potentially be this year. Greg Stroman had an interception today of Brett Rippon. I guess that was the defensive highlight today, other than Montez Sweat. But Gordon, you know, there is something to be said for cohesiveness, and that's what the secondary has right now.
Yeah, just a lot of dependability, a lot of trust. People knowing the assignments, not really worrying about, if I got to help a little bit over here. You know, you get to really lock in more on your job and just know where people are going to be. So I just feel like no one really has to worry about anyone else doing anything because we're all in our spots. You know, we trust it, we've repped it, we've been there before in practice, in games, and then it just keeps getting stronger.
Man, I'm so drunk with excitement about this secondary, Groats. I feel like Kevin Byard is a perfect fit, and Tyreek with another year under his belt, and we haven't really even talked about Kyler that much, but the cohesion of that bunch, I think, is going to be a big strength.
Yeah, Tyreek Stevenson had a nice interception of Caleb Williams yesterday. You know, Kyler Gordon hasn't necessarily popped or stood out yet, but we're only through 3 days so far. I told you that Greg Stroman had the interception today, and, you know, Jalen Johnson is out there as well with the new contract. Oh, and a sweet new vehicle that I saw him driving one of those three-wheelers out of Hallis Hall the other day, Jalen Johnson.
I saw that on Instagram, yeah.
Oh, it was on the gram too. Okay. Yeah. So
looks fun.
It's
and dangerous.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. I remember it was Tariq Cohen in 2019 showing up in one of those puppies back when it was in Bourbon A.
Yeah. Didn't he? Didn't he get a speeding ticket or didn't he do something?
He did. He like pulled up and did like a little stunt, I think, when he pulled up to the
media. He like screeched out in front of you guys.
Yeah. I don't know if he got a ticket necessarily, but he was definitely trying to be fancy. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it became a thing, though. I remember Nagy had to talk about it. There was something that it was unfortunate with that car. But yeah, Jalen Johnson seems to be enjoying his new contract.
What are those cars called?
I don't know. That's a good question because you see them zipping all around Chicago, and they're pretty
it's called
sick.
A slingshot.
I mean,
slingshot.
There we go.
Thank you. Bears. Yeah.
The Polaris slingshot. I mean,
And Kyler Gordon too. You know, we talked about him too. It is very fun to watch him going up against Keenan Allen. I think there's some mutual respect between those two, and hopefully they're making each other better. So it's good to see this secondary back in place, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they're all about.
How was the flus today?
Oh my God, I have three flus cuts. If we had time for all of them,
oh yes,
and they were all of them. Yeah, usually I'll play some serious flus, but flus was just there to entertain us today. And let's start with flus on something of a promise that he made to the media today.
In terms of you guys, right? I see that you guys got shade now in the bleachers.
right? I mean, this is pretty amazing now. You need to thank George, Kevin, you know, when you see him, right? And then Ryan, right? That was them getting it done. And what I'm going to do, next thing, I'm going to bring lemonade out there for y'all. So I think you guys will be all set up.
I want to see that. I want video footage of Matt Eberflus out there with a pitcher and some cups doing a lemonade stand like Owen Parkins.
Yeah, he's sucking up to you guys, though. He's sucking up.
It's what he does every year.
I'll take it. I mean, this is all new. I mean, like, Flus is not a suck-up. He's just trying more with us. He just wants to get to know us a little bit. And, yeah, I mean, I appreciate the Flus. I could see him sitting in, like, the fourth row of the bleachers, you're right, with an apron on and a big tub of lemonade and all of us lining up and giving him change to give us tall glasses of tart lemonade.
Hey, Mark, come here. Come get some lemonade.
Slayer.
Come here, man. Man, come on over here, man.
Hard knocks.
Hey, Mako Shark, come here. He's got a ladle up there. Oh, I got a red Solo cup. How much you want? Want the whole cup? Half cup? Tell me if it's too tart.
Oh, man. I don't know if you guys saw this, but as you know, and maybe people don't know, Jonathan Owens, who is a third string safety for the Bears, at least I think he's the third string safety for the Bears, he gets to go to Paris, France. He will have an excused absence coming up to watch his wife compete in gymnastics. She just happens to be Simone Biles, does the wife of Jonathan Owens. And the Flus was asked, hey, why in this predicament are you willing to allow Jonathan Owens to miss practice time for this?
Oh, just because we respect the Olympics. I mean, that is a big deal, you know, and he's just supporting, you know, the one he loves the most. And I think that's so cool that he gets to do that. And we welcome that, and it's going to be awesome. And we want to go USA.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh my God. We
respect the Olympics.
We respect Olympics.
That's right.
How many questions of the pick six will this be tomorrow morning?
Oh, yeah. That's all I'm trying to do is provide Dustin Rhodes with material for his pick six. Yes.
There's going to be three different questions in the pick six about this.
It's so inappropriate.
Does any player, I mean, nobody's going to say it, but you think there's any player who's like, what the hell, man? That is freaking ridiculous. I mean, my wife's running a 5K in suburban Wisconsin. Can I have a couple days off to go support her?
No, if anybody has an athlete on par with Simone Biles, I would love to hear from them, because I don't think anybody does have a wife on par with Simone Biles in terms of her athletic achievement. So I think my guess is that everybody's cool with this.
There was somebody a couple years ago whose wife was in the Olympic trials.
Was it Robert Quinn? Robert Quinn, wasn't it? Was it Robert Quinn?
I think it might have been, or his girlfriend, his sister.
I think it was his sister.
That's what it was.
Sister.
That's what it
was. Yes. Yep. Yep. I don't know that he miss time.
No.
Okay. They all
he was committed to the team.
Yeah. They watched it. Like they woke.
Yes.
It was at a weird time too, but they all gathered there and watched it on the big screen.
Well, you know what? After this update, I'm going to call Robert Quinn and see what he thinks about this. What do you think about this?
I like that. Oh, there's just a good angle.
Mm-hmm. He'll say, well, I don't really know. I don't really care. That's probably what Robert Quinn would say.
Okay. What else do you got from Flus? He was entertaining today.
One more Flus. Eat your heart out, Daniel Norris, because Matt Eberflus, sometimes when you come in, there's a little bit of conversation around the microphone right before the press conference begins, and your boy Grody was rolling on this, and it has to do with movies.
What's your favorite movie, man?
Movie?
We were talking movies before you came in.
What's your favorite movie?
I like The Natural.
The baseball one? Sure. I got a lot of good movies. Probably Forrest Gump.
Now you know.
That is the most Flus answer ever.
That's a fun movie.
I mean, honestly, if we would, I wish you would have said Flus tells us his favorite movie. Everybody guess. I feel like one of the four of us hits Forrest Gump.
Any Given Sunday. I was thinking he'd maybe go there. Everybody's
that would be
American.
That would be a predictable answer. I guess, I mean, that's fine. Forrest Gump in one best picture.
Yeah.
It's old it school, I guess.
It's a good movie, though.
Yeah, because it went up against Pulp Fiction, right?
Danny? Yeah.
Wasn't it? But yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
An incredible year for movies.
Yeah.
That year.
A lot of good movies.
It was. What was another? There was another movie.
Shawshank.
Was it? Oh, Shawshank.
Silence of the Lambs, too.
Oh, my God. No. How the hell did Gump win? Gump should not
That's
have
what I'm
won,
saying.
Right?
Yeah, Gump should not have won.
You're absolutely right. That Tom Hanks, see? It was the Tom Hanks effect. You know? Pulp Fiction was too irreverent. And I don't know. I don't know how Shawshank couldn't have gotten a piece
Easy
of that.
Flock of seagulls over there.
You heard that, huh? Say what again? say what again?
I feel like I'm watching the movie right now. That's good.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, you're very good.
That's a fun movie.
Forrest Gump beat Shawshank, Pulp Fiction, Quiz Show, and Four Weddings and a Funeral. Good year for movies.
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very good year for movies. Yeah. And all the comedies that came out in 94, too. Great year for comedies. Dumb and Dumber, Ace Ventura, The Mask, The Jim Carrey.
Oh, my God.
The Jim Carrey trifecta in 94.
Yeah, if they had any respect for comedies in the Academy, Dumb and Dumber should have won it.
No, I agree.
That is incorrect.
No, I agree with you, Greg.
That is objectively incorrect.
Come on, man.
Perfect
it's so
movie.
Funny.
Perfect movie.
Every part, every like scene in that movie is funny. Every scene is funny.
I completely agree with you. It is. Yeah, I'll take it over Shawshank Redemption and Pulp Fiction.
What?
I love both of those movies.
I do, too.
But Dumb and Dumber is it, man. It holds up.
I agree completely.
You guys are idiots.
Yeah. Which one of us is dumb and which one of us is dumber?
Yeah,
know
right.
I mean?
Yeah, right. Let's figure that out.
How's your burger?
According to the map, we've only gone about 4 inches. What Bears nuggets do you have for us today?
Oh, man. Ryan Bates was back
I'm just
playing. You better shut up, you pumpkin pie haircutted freak, if you know what's good for you. Ryan Bates was playing center today. They've been rotating. They've been like regimentally rotating. Ryan Bates was in there over Coleman Shelton today. I told you that Greg Stroman had that pick. Oh, one thing I didn't talk about was Braxton Jones did practice a little bit early on in 11-on-11, but was quickly replaced by Larry Borum. So Borum playing the majority today at left tackle. Hmm. So that continues to be a thing. And we'll see. I mean, it's good that Braxton Jones is actually out there, considering, you know, we think it's the neck that they are taking it easy from, but that continues to be a concern for the Bears, guys.
Gerald Everett still on the non-football injury list?
No. He is off of the NFI list, so
okay,
he is back. Yeah, he was taken off of that. I believe it was yesterday. We got that, but yeah, so that slipped in there on us. I was a little concerned about that too, but they quickly took him off the NFI list, so he's good to go.
By the way, Emmanuel Ogba and Yannick Ngakoue both working out for the Dolphins today.
Yes.
So
yep, both of the yep, and that was. Yeah, something that was talked about, too. Those two names have come up, and Ryan pulls his circles, but he keeps saying that he likes what they have, but they're always looking at people.
It's interesting.
Good stuff, Grody. We'll hear more from you at 6 o'clock tonight with Training Camp Live.
That is correct. Bye, guys.
Bears.
It's Mark Grody. Great stuff. Good work. Good hustle out of that man.
Jed Hoyer apparently still hasn't started speaking.
That's interesting.
Almost an hour late.
Yeah, it's interesting. A long delay for Jed with a lot of...
Not like him.
A lot of questions.
Breaking Cubs news.
Uh-oh.
The Cubs part ways with President of Business Operations, Jed Hoyer.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
That's not true, Rick Party.
No, but we are prepared.
I guess so.
Oh, my God.
Guess you're ready.
Unbelievable.
I wonder if they've decided... definitively to be a seller, they try and jump a market today. There's a bunch of new rumors and new stuff that's out there.
Let's get into some of it, and we'll await at least any word coming from Wrigley Field as to what's going on. Obviously, Bruce Levine is there. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style.
Woo!
you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
Afternoons on the Score.
Wasn't there a great line in Pulp Fiction where he called somebody Flock of Seagulls? Hey, Flock of Seagulls over there. They're coming to my brain now all of a sudden.
You, Flock of Seagulls. You know why we're here?
Parkinson Spiegel on the Score. Excellent report from Mark Grody. You'll hear from him in 30 minutes again. Still have a shot to win the Illinois Lottery prize pack. Just listen for the sounder, then call the contest line when you do. 312-540-0670. And we will be at Wrigley tomorrow. Never been done before at this station. Very excited about this. On the field, live broadcast. You've seen TV pregame shows do it where they set up the studio right there on the field. We will do a four-hour radio show from the field ahead of Cubs Brewers tomorrow. So we will be on the field during batting practice. And we have said, give us no protection. Give us no net. We just want Shane out there with no glove protecting us.
Whoa, I thought you are bringing a glove.
I might have a glove with me.
You should bring a glove. I think
barehanded.
I'll bring a glove, too.
Maybe Nico could just give me one of his.
Oh, wow. You guys are tight like that.
He's stealing your hitting technique.
Yeah, he is.
Dude, Nico, my tips. Nico is on fire. Nico is the best player on that team. And we'll talk to him tomorrow. He's hitting the ball very hard, hitting it the opposite way an awful lot. And if anybody missed, I believe Shane called Chris Tannehill the best filmmaker of our generation. The work that Tanny did, splicing together Shane's softball oppo approach and Nico's hardball oppo approach, was exquisite filmmaking.
I couldn't tell which one was the professional ball player, honestly.
Was Shane.
I think it was.
No, my bad. It was Nico.
Again, it's confusing. I don't know. But yeah, we will be on the field tomorrow at Wrigley. We'll be talking to Council in person, Nico Horner in person, other surprises that'll be surprises to the audience and us because we're not sure. But we got a lot of lines out there for people to be joining us, but it should be some pretty big names. You said other rumors going on about the Cubs.
Yeah, well, there's rumors. Bruce Levine had reported it on Saturday morning, and then Bob Nightingale followed up with more on it on Sunday about Jameson Taillon being out there for conversation, and it got specific in terms of the Yankees and the Red Sox, maybe both competing about Jameson Taillon. There are so many teams that need a starting pitcher. It's an intriguing market right now. The Braves just put Max Fried on the injured list. The Dodgers just designated James Paxton for assignment, even though he's made 18 starts, has an ERA under 5. He's been bad for a while, but they've got some coming back, but we know that they're in the mix. The Orioles desperately need one, and Tarik Skubal and Garrett Crochet being out there, as we know. Look, if you are pivoting to sell, you might want to try and jump the market a little bit if you are the Cubs and you're trying to do something like that. And I'm seeing like the Rays are going to try and both buy and sell at this particular deadline. So there are a lot of teams kind of moving and a lot more declarations coming, a lot more clarity. They haven't jumped a market to buy, but if they are going to consider selling, maybe they jump a market to sell.
It feels like it'd be better to sell than to buy. I still think they're largely going to do nothing, and it's going to be very small in either direction. But more teams are in it and can convince themselves that are in it than not.
So I would not expect them to be massive sellers, but it is going to be more of a seller's market. Like the White Sox will get a lot for their guys. Apparently, if we step aside right now, we'll be able to come back and hear some of Jed Hoyer. This is the last time he's going to speak before the trade deadline. So you'll hear from the president of baseball operations next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Honored to be on their show earlier today. Danny and Matt do an excellent job interviewing people.
Afternoons on The Score.
The answers have to be internal.
At this point, certainly the answers have to come from within.
Jed's messaging on this has been pretty consistent, but as we've talked about for literally a couple of months now, a lot of the times when he speaks, the questions are about the trade deadline, when it's too soon to really talk about the trade deadline because teams aren't making trades or they're in draft prep. Now it's the last time he's going to speak before the trade deadline.
He waited for improvement to come from within. It did not. They didn't bring up kids that got played and got used very much, and the internal improvements did not happen. So here we are, as you say, just a week or so away from the trade deadline, and Jed speaks.
Let's hear some Jed.
Jed, a week away from the deadline, what's your thought process right now?
Busy, you know. I feel like the way the draft is now, I feel like I started getting calls on Tuesday and Wednesday, like right away, and kind of died down over the weekend a little bit. But, you know, today's been busy, and, you know, it always trends toward the end, I think, is how this goes, you know. But, I feel like the call volume will be a lot this week and next. I think it'll be pretty steady from now on.
So everybody wants to know, buyers or sellers, there's always an in-between as well, right?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I think the next seven games, you know, obviously matter. You know, certainly we saw what can happen last year. So you sort of never firmly put your feet, plant your feet. You know, you have to be able to be nimble. But I think where we are right now, I would say that, moves only for 24. I think unless things change over the next week, I think we probably won't do a lot of moves that only help us, for this year. If moves help us, in 25 and beyond, I think we're still exceptionally well positioned. I think that's what our focus will be. But like just helping in 24, I think that probably won't be our focus unless things, change dramatically.
Pause it for just a second.
Yeah, that's a big concession right there.
And we'll get right back to the audio so we can get as much in as possible. But for anyone, that means no rentals.
That means no rentals. That's admitting a lack of belief in this team for this year, but keeping an open mind to do things of a bigger variety that could help them next year.
And if they win seven straight, like last year's 8-game winning streak, sure, he'll leave open that door slightly ajar, but rentals basically off the table for the Cubs. Here's more of Jed.
I mean, you've seen this team, what are we, 100 games or whatever. How much could it really, 7 games, affect anything?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we saw it last year. You know, I think we went from 7-under to basically getting back to 500 in that stretch. And so, obviously, things can change. But certainly, yes, the expectation is that I think we have a good sense of where we are and our game plan going forward. But you never know what happens in a seven-game stretch.
You kind of mentioned it in your previous answer, but this team was constructed to be entering this period of sustained success.
Yeah.
How important is 25, 26, and not kind of saying, hey, this didn't work, and you got to like hit reset or something?
I mean, I think saying it like that, I feel like would be a mistake. I think that we obviously started out the year well. We showed before the break that we can play well. We had 2 months of playing really poorly, and that obviously put us in a poor position. But I think when you look back on what this group largely did, this group together largely did last year, and then especially from a run differential standpoint last year, and then you factor in the fact that we added Imanaga and Bush to that. I think the future is really bright, given the farm system, and so I think that deciding that's too much of a declarative statement. I feel really good about how we're positioned, for the future and beyond, and so I think our moves will reflect that at the deadline.
With all due respect to Amaya, who's come a long way in a lot of areas, do you have to trade for a catcher? I mean, is that a priority?
I mean, certainly our catcher production has been poor. I think when you look at where we rank among the league, that's been a struggle. And you know, I do feel like, you know, he's come on a little bit recently, but I do feel like our lineup, one difference between this year and last year is our lineup has felt more shallow. You know, we've had, you know, games where it felt like the bottom of the order wasn't producing. And last year, one of the things I thought we were really good at, and I think part of why we were, you know, sixth in baseball in run scoring last year, was that we were pretty deep 1-9, and that hasn't happened. And the catching position has been part of that.
With Amaya and with guys like PCA and Christopher Morel, young guys that are trying to establish themselves in the major leagues, is it tough to balance, you know, having these guys trying to get these experiences to while also trying to compete in a win now mode?
Yeah, and I think this is part of the game today. I think that's only going to get more challenging. You know, I think on the pitching side, we've done it with a lot of young arms. There's a lot more guys that are fairly close to the minors that I think are going to impact us that we're going to have to break in. So yeah, I don't think that ever stops. You're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to win with young players while they go through those struggles and find a way to balance those things out. And obviously getting at or above projection performances out of your veteran guys sort of helps mitigate that a lot, and that hasn't happened to a certain extent, and I think that's part of our struggles. So
when you have an underachieving team like this, what like you have your analytics guys, what can you do to try to fix it without, you know, tearing everything up? Do you have guys studying things? Would this work better? Would, you know, how does that work?
I mean, no matter how the team's playing, you're always analyzing, you know, what you can do better. I mean, there's no question about that. I think that, you know, you have both a group in the clubhouse that's preparing for every series, plus you have the group, our group upstairs, and, you know, in the front office. And yeah, I don't think that process never stops, whether you're playing well or not. I think that obviously it probably becomes that much more important, you know, when during that period in May and June we were struggling, but I don't think that process never stops.
You mentioned not being at the point of being able to add just for 2024. You know, when you look at what the outlook was for this team coming into the season, the starting pitching you've gotten, just how would you describe as a franchise where this team is at right now versus where you felt like it could be? And based on, in part, with some of the results that you guys have gotten?
I think as a franchise, I feel very similar to the way I felt at the beginning of the year as a individual team. Obviously, we didn't perform as well as hoped. It doesn't mean we have 61 games left. It doesn't mean that can't turn around, but certainly the way we played in May and June dug a hole that is really difficult to get out of. So, you know, from a young talent standpoint, from a, you know, controllable player standpoint, I feel really good. I think that we simply dug a hole with underperformance for those 2 months, and, you know, that doesn't affect how I view the organization or how I, you know, view things going forward, but it certainly affects 24.
When you look,
that's interesting, man.
Yeah, it is. He's staying optimistic, zoomed out.
Minor leagues and every level of the org and all of that.
State of the org and the health of the org. But when you have a failure like this in this particular year, it starts to sound like you're defending yourself in the face of a lot of criticism and a lot of people wondering if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, and I think Jed is smart. I think he knows what he's doing. Anyone really just cares about the major league team? Like, of course it matters. Of course the double A team matters. Of course the single A team matters, and your prospect list and your depth and all of that. But only if you cash that in for major league wins.
Well, the training and the development matters, and it all matters. And a baseball org is a massive endeavor. It's a bigger endeavor than a football team, than any other professional sport. And he's in charge of all of it, and it is a big deal. And I understand the overall optimism. I share it largely, but the team building on the big league level is very much in question right now, especially with some limitations on them as a big market behemoth. They're not acting like the biggest behemoths out there.
And I mean, to hear him say, you know, 61 games, if they went 40-21, which seems unfathomable right now, but if they won two-thirds of their games, went 40-21, it's an 88-win team, which would obviously probably be a wild card team, and it'd be an incredible finish. But this season is almost a lost cause at this point.
If that's the reality of where they sit. Let's get a few more minutes of Jed before we're out.
At Major League Baseball right now and offense, how do you know that, you know, maybe your guys haven't failed and that it's just a systemic, you know, issue, you know, with Major League Baseball and hitting in general?
Well, offense is down for sure, but you know, I think where we rank relative to the league is much different than it was a year ago with virtually the same players, you know, and it's not like our guys are not prime age. So I think that's how I look at it. It's not about what the OPS is. It's really about like where we rank in the league. And we've had some good pockets of offense, but for those 2 months, we were the single worst offense in baseball, and that you know that was problematic. So I do feel like
I agree.
Yes, there's no question. You have to look at individual players' performance, and you have to relate it to the league compared to last year. But as a team, we haven't performed as well as we did last year.
You guys are, I mean, Brewers in town. You're 12-21 against the Central. How much does that record surprise you? I mean, you know, a lot of it came in that bad stretch. You guys weren't hitting.
I think that's a lot of it. We didn't play the Central at all in April, and we were playing really well. We weren't playing the Central when we started playing well prior to the break, and then we played the Central a lot in May and June when we were really struggling. So I think some of that is when we play teams, and I think that's one of the things we talk about so much in today's game. There's a lot more parity. There's very few teams that are at the bottom of the league, and so much of it comes down to when you play teams. Do you play when they're hot, and play them when they're not? And I think that, unfortunately, like our pocket of playing the Central was at a bad stretch.
Obviously, people are going to look at that and say you guys have the top payroll in the division, the big market team. How much is that? You know, how much do you talk about that with your Tom? And people like that have questions about it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think about it in terms of, you know, I really just think about it in terms of how we're performing against them. That's how I look at it. And unfortunately, you know, this year, we haven't played as well against that group of teams, and we need to, you know, we obviously, you know, the record you cited, you know, we have to play better against our own division for sure.
Jed, going back to follow up to Andy's question, the idea of like competing and breaking in players, I guess the other option would be just to, you know, bottom out, lose 100 games, but give runway to Pete Crow, give runway, like Alexander Canario really hasn't had a real chance. You know what I'm saying? That's the other, you have Shaw and Casey knock on the door, they're going to need runway. So is it even more difficult because you're asking them to sort of enter a competing situation? Like Rizzo in 13 felt like he had less pressure.
Yeah, of course. I think when players enter a situation where they're like, that pressure isn't there, I think it might be a little bit easier, but that's not going to be an option. So I think there's kind of no point going through that hypothetical.
You know, come on, Jesse. Come on. That's your comment?
Redirect.
Yeah. I get what he's driving at there, and I've seen that out there in the Cubs spaces of conversation. You don't want that. Oh, well, they come up to your good prospects come up to a team where there's no pressure. That's not, then you're not spending $190 million or $230 million on your payroll. You know, that's not what you want.
This is
the rules are different than they were in 2013 for the draft. Like that would be unacceptable. This for a franchise like this.
This was worth waiting for, and I'm glad we squeezed it in. Great job by the production staff, and we'll talk more about it tomorrow as we are on the field before the game. Pressure is on Jed Hoyer in 2025, big time. Big, big time pressure. He'll obviously be back. He will get another chance to try and tweak this mix a little bit. They're not going to step back, but he's got to find a way to make this translate into a much better team.
It's going to be a big show tomorrow. Nico Horner, Craig Counsell, others. Show from the field. We've never done it before. Ahead of Cubs and Brewers. Hopefully get a win tonight. Have some good vibes heading into this series with the Brewers. Mark Grody was on the show today. We appreciate his time. Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka, Twitch chat, video stream. Thank you, sirs. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill making us sound better than we are each and every day. Mark Grody follows up for Training Camp Live. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
lot of good fun, a lot of good laughs. So that was really cool.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.